Coming at you on the evening of Monday, January 3rd, our first podcast of the new year. Adam Azer and Sergio Gonzalez, our fantasy basketball writer for CBSSports.com. What's up, Sergio?
Happy New Year, Adam. How are you?
Funny you should ask. I'm sick. Now, I got sick most likely at work last week, and there were about eight people in the office last week, and one of them was hacking up a lung or two.
That might have been me.
That was you.
Actually, the loyal listeners of the podcast might have been able to put two and two together.
You might have actually gotten the listeners sick. That's how sick you were.
I'm sorry, everybody.
But yeah, no, I'm getting better. I'm fine. I'm better than Caron Butler. I'm better than Danilo Gallinari. We got to talk about some major injuries. What's the latest with Caron Butler, and who should we pick up in his absence?
Well, it hasn't been absolutely confirmed yet, but Caron Butler is expected to miss about 2 months, and that's going to be providing a significant fantasy boost for Sean Marion, a player who was a fantasy stud throughout his career with the Phoenix Suns when he was playing under Mike D'Antoni. We don't expect him to return to that level of production, obviously, but we do think that he could still be a stat stuffer. He could still be one of those category league type guys that can give you production across the board, and I think he's a must-add in any fantasy league where he's available. I don't think he's available in a lot of leagues, but he's a player that you can start activating if you do own him.
Now, what about Deshaun Stevenson? He is owned in 4% of leagues, and they also have Dominique Jones in the equation, owned in 3% of leagues. I mean, Stevenson had started in Butler's place, right? So do we have an opportunity to go ahead and pick up a starting shooting guard on a first-place team?
You know what? Stevenson's a little bit of a sleeper. I like him more in head-to-head standard formats where it's not a category-type situation because he's mostly just going to get you scoring. But I do like Marion above those two guys. I do think Stevenson could be a nice pickup in deeper leagues.
Moving on to Danilo Gallinari, who is out 2 to 3 weeks. This is fairly late breaking news for us right now. The implications here, Sean Williams is basically unowned. He's going to see a boost in playing time. What else do you think?
I think Tony Douglas, we saw the game that he had the other night. Actually, Mike D'Antoni said it was the best game he's seen Tony Douglas play in 2 years. He's going to be a player to get a boost, I think. Also, players like Wilson Chandler and Landry Fields are going to get a boost in terms of their overall touches in the offense. Do think Sean Williams, like you said, is a player who's going to get a boost in terms of minutes, but I like Tony Douglas probably to get the biggest direct fantasy impact. I think Landry Fields and Wilson Chandler, their value is already pretty high.
Yeah, if you're in a deep league and guys like Chandler and Fields are already owned, and even Tony Douglas maybe, look at Sean Williams. Look at Bill Walker. I think he's going to have to make his way into the rotation. The Knicks play a pretty short rotation as it is. Gallinari gets a lot of minutes. Somebody's going to have to eat it up. I think Williams and Walker, two guys you could look at there.
And I do think fantasy owners should know, if there's anybody that knows the Knicks, it's our buddy here, Adam Azer.
I did watch that game in which he got hurt, Danilo Gallinari, but he got hurt pretty late, so we didn't get a full game of knowing what to expect. So we look at some more injuries. Gerald Wallace, he has an ankle injury, out indefinitely. What do you think here?
It sounds like, from what we're hearing from Charlotte, that he's going to miss the entire week, the scoring period of week 11, January 3rd through the 9th. He's out indefinitely. I don't like the sound of that. We did hear from Charlotte that the injury looked to be severe when it happened. He was in a lot of pain, and it looks like it could be a week-to-week thing rather than a day-to-day thing. So fantasy owners should be prepared for a lengthy absence there. Continue to monitor his status, but I think a guy like Tyrus Thomas is going to get a chance for a boost there. Also, Boris Diaw.
Dallas, man, if you were a Dirk owner last week, here you are. You get Dirk for 5 games,
yes,
and he misses almost all five of them. He got hurt in the first game of the week against the Thunder.
Unbelievable.
They lost 3 of those 4 games that he missed. So he's still out with a knee injury. What's the latest on Dirk?
The latest is that there really is no latest on him. The Dallas Mavericks haven't updated his status. He's day-to-day going into Tuesday's game. I think Dirk Nowitzki could play by the end of the week, but it sounds like his best-case scenario is him returning by the end of the week. He said late this weekend that he hopes to play at some point during the week, so it's not looking too great for him if you need to start him or if you're stuck starting him in any weekly format.
And Andre Blotch is owned in almost every league, 99% of leagues. He rolled his ankle today in practice. Is this serious?
He doesn't think it's serious, but we've heard this before where the player says, no, it's not serious, and then he's... In fact, we'll get back. We just talked
Gallinari.
To Danilo Gallinari. Our own Ken Berger spoke to him at the stadium after the game, and asked him, how do you feel? He says, I hope to play on Tuesday. He'd just been diagnosed with a grade 1 sprain. Now he's out 2 to 3 weeks. So similar situation here for Andre Blatch. He says he's fine, but we're going to have to continue to monitor his progress. Basically, he just rolled an ankle in practice, so it's not as serious as the Gallinari injury, but it is something to monitor going forward. And if you still have a chance to reserve him in any daily or weekly format, I'd suggest considering healthy alternatives.
We're going to look at some surging players and some slumping players, and then look at the most traded players in CBSSports.com leagues. Then Sergio's going to hit up Twitter and, I don't know, go
answer
over some tweets.
Questions.
Yeah, answer some questions, do all that fun stuff. Surging players, surging relative to what they've been doing before. Paul George, why is he surging? Because he's actually getting minutes. He's a rookie for the Pacers, scored 13 points 2 games ago. Wasn't quite as impressive on Sunday, but factoring into the rotation a little bit, is this anything that we need to keep an eye on?
Absolutely. Fantasy owners should keep an eye on any time a player like this gets into a rotation and starts producing. What we do know is that Jim O'Brien's rotations have by no means been set all season. He's actually one of those coaches that drives fantasy owners crazy. But when a player like Paul George gets in there and he gets a chance to play, I think any player that can give you double-digit scoring on a consistent basis, and I think Paul has that type of upside, is worth picking up in deeper leagues.
How about a guy who can score over 30 points on a consistent basis? Right now, Darrell Wright is on fire. 2 of his last 3 games, he's over 40 points. Hitting 4.5 threes per game in his last 4 games. Now, he's not going to get to play the Heat, his former team, and light them up. So I think he had like 6 or 7 threes that night.
I think he was trying to prove a point.
Yeah, it might have even been more than that. But what do you think about Darrell Wright? I know that he was on everybody's radar earlier in the season. Then he kind of tailed off, and is he back now?
Yeah, I think he is. I think that's exactly what we're talking about here. Darrell Wright, earlier in the season, was looking like one of the bigger breakouts of the fantasy season. Tailed off, like you mentioned, but it seems like he's finally resumed that role that he had as a premier three-point shooter that he had earlier this season, and I think he's back for good.
Well, how many threes did he hit against the Heat?
Let's see. I'll
look it up, because I think I might be selling him a little bit short.
Yeah.
I thought it was like 6. Might have been 8 or so. DeAndre Jordan is the next guy on this list. We have no internet.
We have
access.
No internet, of course.
Great. Okay. That's the assignment to our listeners at home, to tell me how many three-pointers Darrell Wright hit against Miami. A game the Warriors completely blew. But DeAndre Jordan, 13 blocks in his last 2 games. Are you serious?
Unbelievable. And with Chris Kaman nowhere to be found and no real indication that he's going to be back soon, DeAndre Jordan is a popular pickup off the waiver wire. The only thing I can say here is to be a little cautious, because in the short term, you're not going to get a lot out of him. DeAndre Jordan plays just 2 games in week 11, and Kaman could conceivably be back after that. So this is kind of one of those that you pick him up, stash him, and hope for the best. But don't get too attached to him, because it's very possible you get nothing out of it. It's worth the pickup because of the upside, but a lot of this is going to depend on the health of Chris Kaman.
Last guy on the surging list. You like him a lot right now, Vince Carter.
Vince Carter is getting a significant boost since his move to Phoenix. He opted not to undergo that knee surgery. And as we talked about in the podcast, the move to the up-tempo style of play in Phoenix has benefited him. He averaged just 12 shots per game for the Orlando Magic earlier this season. He's averaged in his first 3 games with the Phoenix Suns around 18 shots per game. His scoring's gone up to about 18 points per game. And I think Vince Carter is going to continue to enjoy the benefits of the system in Phoenix to revive what's been really a fading fantasy appeal for him.
What do you think about some of these slumping players? Start out with Raymond Felton. Felton is averaging about 14 points and 4.5 assists over his last 3 games. That's terrible production. He's got a minor injury going on. Maybe it's not as minor as we thought. But I'm starting to worry that he's getting tired, that 39 minutes a night is catching up to him, especially in that kind of offense.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it happen with Chris Duhon with the Knicks. So I'm a little worried about Raymond Felton. Should fantasy owners be worried?
You know what? They should. And I like the parallel you just drew with Chris Duhon. He was a player that Mike D'Antoni did a lot with and kind of, I wouldn't even say revive, because Duhon never really had the fantasy appeal that he had before coming to the Knicks. He gave him fantasy appeal.
Right.
And then he just fell off the face of the earth in the second half of that season. And a lot of it was attributed to, like you said, him having tired legs and not having the conditioning to run really what is one of the most up-tempo offenses in the NBA. I don't think Raymond Felton is going to fall off to the point that Chris Duhon did. I think Felton is a far superior point guard. I do think he's hitting a lull, and there's something that he's going to have to work through. I think the All-Star break could do him a lot of good, and that's coming up in the not-too-distant future. Felton is a player I think you should be patient with because of his upside and because he's going to continue to be the point guard for the Knicks the remainder of the season. Duhon, there was always the risk that at any point, if he started to slump, he was going to lose the job. Felton, I don't think that's the case.
No. Tyreke Evans, 12 points on New Year's Day, 6 points the day after that. And in each of those games, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. So he's just not giving you very good production right now.
No, and with each of these passing games, it gets more and more likely that he's going to opt to have that surgery that could sideline him for a while. So fantasy owners should be extremely concerned here. When it was announced that he was considering that surgery, his next couple games, he had some big stat lines, and fantasy owners kind of came off the ledge a little bit thinking that he was going to be able to play through the plantar fasciitis, or fasciitis. How do you pronounce it?
I guess I'd say fasciitis. I don't know.
Plantar fasciitis. We'll go with that. it seemed like he was going to be able to play through that without any problems, but now it seems like it's catching up to him again, and it's really extremely likely that he's going to be put on the shelf probably within the next week or so.
Roy Hibbert, slumping. We talked about this before, but he actually didn't even get the start on Sunday.
Yeah, he got benched on Sunday. And hopefully, fantasy owners should look at it as a good thing because this is the type of thing that he needs to light a fire under him. He got off to a great start this season. He averaged around 15 points and 10 rebounds in November. His numbers really took a hit in December. And it just seems like something isn't clicking for Roy Hibbert. He's getting the playing time. Until recently, he was getting the playing time anyway.
Now, I heard, watching that game yesterday, he got benched because Jim O'Brien didn't think it was a good matchup for him to be guarding Amari Stoudemire. So
yeah,
they put Jeff Foster on him.
But that's coach speak. I mean, that's one
that's
of those things that they have to say,
so
right?
Too, yeah.
In terms of not hurting his own mental psyche going forward. But I think there's something there. He's got to really turn on the light again. It's something that we also saw last season from him, when that he put up excellent numbers when Troy Murphy was out, but when then Troy Murphy came back, he just completely disappeared. So there's something to be said about Hibbert's motivation and really him getting up for things. And I think hopefully him being benched could be good in the long term, but right now he's a player to sit in any league.
What about Darko Milicic?
Darko is a player who's struggling, I think, in his case, because he's dealing with the lingering effects of a hip injury that have really cut into his production. He's been able to play through it, but ever since he came back from that hip injury, his minutes haven't been quite up to par, and neither has his production. I think you should be patient with him, because as soon as he does start to get over that hip injury and start to feel better, his numbers are going to get back to normal.
Looking at 3 of the most traded players in CBSSports.com leagues, number 1's Chris Paul. And we'll move on past him and look at 2, 3, and 4. David Lee is number 2. Lee not having the year that he had last season, and he's a bit banged up right now. He's got some lingering issues going on. So we'll look at 3 trades that have recently been pulled off involving David Lee. You tell me who wins these trades.
Okay.
From the standpoint of the Lee owner.
Okay.
Lee for Brooke Lopez.
The David Lee owner. I think
you
David,
like Lopez,
yeah, and I understand that David Lee, because of the elbow issue, some ankle and knee issues that he's dealing with right now, hasn't been putting up the numbers that he put up with the Knicks, but I think his numbers are going to beat out Brooke Lopez year.
Oh, so you'd rather have David Lee?
Yeah, David Lee, David Lee.
Okay.
David Lee.
Lee for Luke Ridnour and Hedo Turkoglu.
Oh, that's not even close.
Yeah.
David Lee.
Yeah.
David Lee, come on.
Don't
guys.
Sell low on David
come on,
Lee.
Come on, owners. Don't sell, exactly. Don't sell low on David Lee.
This one's a little bit more interesting. I think I like this trade. David Lee for Ginobili, Okafor, and Scola.
Ooh, that's a 3-for-1 and 3 quality players.
Yeah, I think
where you get Okafor 3 in there to plug in at center, you're obviously losing, but then you get a lot with Ginobili and a lot with Scola. 3-for-1, I think if you add up the production that those 3 players are going to get you, they're going to outproduce David Lee by the end of the year. Yeah, that's a good move. That's a good move.
Number 3 is Gilbert Arenas. Gilbert Arenas for Anton Jameson.
Give me Jameson right now. That's a tricky one because Arenas' upside is what it is, but right now his role with the Orlando Magic is too restricted. Jameson is asked to play big minutes and do a lot for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think Jameson in that deal for sure.
Arenas for Nene.
I always value the centers. And
same argument here.
Same argument, exactly. Arenas' role is too restricted right now. Nene offers you way more, especially at the weak center position.
Arenas and Richard Jefferson for Channing Frye and Ben Gordon.
Channing Frye and Ben Gordon, I think, are in a similar ballpark to Arenas in that they're players with upside but with restricted roles. I would stay with Arenas on that side in the hopes, because I think his upside is higher than Fry and Gordon, in the hopes that maybe, and you never want to hope anybody gets injured, but say something happens to Jameer Nelson or Jason Richardson, and then Arenas is asked to play big minutes again, I think Arenas has the most upside.
Yeah, I agree. But looking at Arenas for Jameson and Arenas for Nene, obviously these owners are selling high on Gilbert Arenas. So
absolutely.
That's a good job right there. Number four on the most traded list is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant for Chauncey Billups and Danilo Gallinari.
Well, now, especially with the news of Gallinari being out, really it just becomes Billups for Kobe, and that's a no-brainer.
But you still have Gallinari for most of the season.
That's true. I mean, we're talking 2 to 3 weeks. These injuries that go 2 to 3 weeks end up being a month, really.
Yeah,
so you're talking
you do
about
have the
two
All-Star
months.
Break, probably.
You do have the All-Star break, so that could help Gallinari.
Not quite in that 2
so
to 3 weeks.
So we're talking about by the time that Gallinari gets back, it's getting close to playoff time in fantasy hoops leagues.
That's true.
So really you're looking at, for to get you to the playoffs, Kobe versus Billups, that's a no-brainer.
You want Kobe.
Absolutely.
Kobe Bryant for Rajon Rondo.
That's interesting. Rondo is a buy low candidate, technically, because he's coming off the injury. He's missed some time now. And Bryant Rondo, especially in category leagues, is a lot closer than you might think. Unfortunately, I think what Bryant does in terms of his scoring, also assists. I know Rondo's the elite assist guy there. And the rebounding, when both are healthy, I think Bryant still outproduces Rondo. It's a close one, though. It's
Kobe Bryant for Anton Jameson and Anthony Morrow.
I'll give you Kobe. Kobe all day there. Jameson is a solid player in a good role for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Morrow is just a pickup off the waiver wire.
Yeah.
So you're talking Jameson for Bryant almost straight up there. Give me Kobe Bryant all day. This is a deal
again,
that was
don't
on
sell
site.
Low. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't sell low on Kobe. Well, maybe it's a deep category.
No,
league, and a guy
there's always an
pointers.
Explanation, but... I mean, I almost want to get this guy on the podcast to see what the heck he was thinking.
Yeah, so don't sell low on Kobe Bryant. I know the Lakers aren't doing that well. Kobe's had a few off games lately.
Kobe.
By the way, we have an NBA podcast that I do with Greg Urbano. I brought this stat up. I thought it was relevant because we talked about this right before the Christmas games. Kobe is shooting 5.5 times more per game in Laker losses than in wins.
It's unbelievable. And he really needs to learn how to trust his teammates.
But you know what? I don't blame him this year.
No.
Because his teammates kind of stink this year,
yeah.
Especially like Ron Artest. And from a fantasy standpoint, is there any reason to own Ron Artest right now? He's awful.
No.
The only reason
you would own Ron Artest is you're in a category league. Ron Artest can still spread out the production, but you're hoping for an injury or something there to thrust them into a role. Because right now he wants to be the Kobe Bryant of defense. He's almost said as much. His only focus right now is shutting down the other team's best perimeter player. He has absolutely no desire to put up stats. Apparently, he has no desire to make money either because he's given away all his money. But I think he's got it in his mind right now that he wants to be the premier defensive player in the league, and that's all that matters to him. So that's not good for fantasy owners.
Well, the Lakers just have no perimeter scoring other than Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely.
So I don't really blame him
for
having to chuck up shots when they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
Sergio, what do we got in the Twitter world?
Well, let's see. We have
this
a question.
This is my favorite time. Now you've got the computer out. I just get to take
I
a
get
little
to drive
nap
now.
Here.
I get the keys.
Yeah.
All right. We got a tweet question from PFH09. Is this going to be a big week for Tony Douglas? Obviously, he's referring to Danilo Gallinari going down. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the podcast. I do think Tony Douglas is going to be the player who benefits the most there. We saw him score 12 points with 7 assists and 5 rebounds, I believe, in his last game. And I think he's going to be a player who's going to be asked to do more on the offensive side of things. Not so much in assists and rebounds. Forget that. If you get that, that's a bonus. But earlier this season, when Tony Douglas was hot, he was a player that was giving the Knicks around 20 points per game on a pretty steady clip. He has that type of upside. And if the Knicks need a perimeter scorer, I think Tony Douglas can do that, provide them with 3-point shooting. So
yeah,
he's definitely a player who I think is going to have a big week, yes.
He's been playing hurt this year. Hopefully getting a little bit healthier, and they play the Spurs on Tuesday. I have a feeling that's going to be a very high-scoring game because
really?
I know the Spurs are capable of scoring a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same Spurs that want to keep you in the 80s and the low 90s. And if you look at the Knicks-Celtics game, for example, that was like 115 to 113 or something like that. I think that could be a high-scoring game. Then the Knicks also have the Suns later in the week, I believe, and the Lakers.
Yes.
So, yeah, it could be a high-scoring
week. It could be a breakout week for Tony Douglas. So if you're listening out there and you have a chance to snag him off the waiver wire, go ahead and do that. We also have a question here from Chingon2113. All right, these Twitter names, they're great. Is Nocioni a safe gamble for this week? I'm really hurting on my forward position, and I'm going to ride either Nocioni or Ryan Anderson. We're talking about low-end stuff here, so he's
Oh, we didn't talk about Brandon Bass.
We didn't talk about the Brandon Bass, and we could talk about that here in this deal. I think Nocioni is a safe gamble here because Ryan Anderson is not guaranteed playing time because Brandon Bass is in a situation where he's day-to-day, has the potential for a long-term knee injury depending on how he fares this week, but he is going to continue to play through it. He did tell the Orlando Sentinel on Monday afternoon after his shoot-around that he felt better and he thinks he's going to be able to play through it. But because Ryan Anderson is in such a tentative situation because he's tied to the health of Brandon Bass, I think Nocioni is the better play there. Let's see what else we have here. From Tim DeMuth from Twitter. Would you trade Tayshaun Prince and Andres Bjelland for Roy Hibbert? Interesting, because I do think Roy Hibbert is a buy-low candidate. Kind of referred to that earlier in the podcast. I think that Roy Hibbert, eventually, once the light gets turned back on, hopefully this benching does it for him, could get back to the player he was in November. And as I mentioned, he averaged 15 points and 10 rebounds per game. And that's pretty high quality.
Would you trade Bjelland and Prince for that guy?
Bjelland, right now, for the Golden State Warriors, is only going to get you rebounding. He's not asked to score because David Lee's up front. So, yes, Bjelland can get you around 9 to 10 rebounds per game. But if Hibbert's right, he can get you that rebounding plus the scoring. Tayshaun Prince, to me, he's one of those players that you can pick up off the wheel. He's very replaceable. And if you're talking about possibly adding a center who, if he gets right, can be a number one center, I think that's a smart move. So I think that's a good move there by Tim DeMuth from Twitter.
Yo, speaking of the Pistons, my friend, T-Mac.
Tracy McGrady.
Surging.
He's not back yet, fantasy owners, but he is a player to keep an eye on. And we've talked about the Pistons on and off this year. They really have nothing there, and they could use any type of consistent scoring. Tracy McGrady has a chip on his shoulder, and he wants to prove that he could still be relevant in this league. He's had enough time now to rest those ailing knees and kind of get into a groove and become confident in himself. I think he's a player to keep an eye on. I wouldn't start him in any league. Definitely wouldn't put too much of my fantasy implications on him. Like, I wouldn't invest in him. But you never know.
Kobe Bryant for Tracy McGrady. Good trade.
Well, that owner that we saw earlier today would consider it. So
yeah, exactly.
You never know. You just send those trades out there. You never know what you might get back.
So we'll be back on Thursday to talk more fantasy basketball. Send us an email, dmfantasyhoops@cbs.com. D as in Desmond, M as in Mason, fantasyhoops@cbs.com. Follow Sergio on Twitter and tweet him at CBS Gonzalez, GONZALEZ, and follow us at CBS Fantasy News on Twitter. Sergio, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And I'm Adam Azer. Hopefully we'll both be 100% healthy by the time we get back on
we'll
Thursday.
See
you later.